Thanks for checking out this weekly Sunday message from Carrollton UMC. We pray that God will use this to speak to you and help you grow in faith. We invite you to join us this Sunday at our 10:30 a.m. one-hour service, in person at our location in Uptown New Orleans, or live online on our YouTube channel or Facebook page. To learn more about Carrollton, please visit carrolltonumc.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of John. It is John 12, verses 12 through 16. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. Excuse me. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. The word of God for us, the people of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in all ways, for you are our rock and our ever-present Redeemer. Amen. So when a day like Palm Sunday comes up on the Christian calendar, it's a big day. And if you don't preach from the traditional text like we just did, it's a head scratcher. Like next week for Easter, I could come up with a million Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled by Jesus, and we could use that as the scripture, or we could use things that Jesus preached about while he was here on earth. But if you don't use a scripture like the rolling away the stone from the tomb, people get to wondering, like, is today actually Easter? So the same thing for Palm Sunday. Of course, if you're in the middle of a sermon series, you know, right now we're in the middle of our back pocket sermon series on Christian axioms and the basics of Christianity. We needed that to fit the scripture, or maybe the scripture to fit that. And so I ask you the question, what sort of basic Christian teaching do we get from this admittedly unique little odd scene here where Jesus is trotting into town on a donkey, and the people are cheering him, but we now know, and Jesus knew at the time, that these are the people who are about to turn around and turn against him and demand that he be crucified. Don't worry. Be humble. I mean, can you imagine anyone else under the circumstances soon to be arrested, charged, beaten, crucified, rolling into town where it's all about to happen and being both humble and not worried? Jesus sets that bar pretty high for us. Now, we have so much material from Jesus and otherwise in Scripture about not worrying. Somebody said there's 365 verses on it. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but what's accurate is clear. It's pretty clear that Jesus tells us, do not worry, ever. Pretty much most famously for Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, where he says, no man can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. He's basically saying, quit worrying about money. And then he says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or about your body, or about what you'll wear. Can any of you add by worrying a single hour to your life? And don't worry about clothes, he says. So don't worry about what we're going to eat. Don't worry about what we're going to drink or wear. He says, for the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, the reference there to pagans by Jesus is interesting, because in the last few weeks, we've seen other references to pagans by Jesus where he says, non-believers. He says they do certain things that make them look good. And it looks like a good deed that they're doing, but they're not doing it in the name of God. They're doing it for their own self-aggrandizement or to feel good. And Jesus says, God's not impressed when you don't do it in the name of God. And here he's saying, look, these non-believers, they not only run after all these things, food and clothing. It says God knows you need these things, but the pagans also worry about it. He says they have no way out of the worry because they have no faith that God will provide for them. But you, Christian, a follower, Jesus is saying, you have a means to stop worrying if you'd simply pay close enough attention to what Jesus is saying. And so you ask then, well, what does this admonition against worrying have to do with humility? And the answer is, don't worry. I'll tell you in a minute. So on the topic of humility, you know, we got a scripture on scripture again with dealing with humility and being humble. Jesus tells us in Matthew 23, he says, the greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. James tells us in James 4, submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near you. Essentially, he's saying, get out of your own head and start thinking like Jesus. He says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. So can you resist the devil by being humble? Jonathan Edwards says you can. He was a preacher in the mid-18th century, and he wrote this. He says, nothing sets a Christian so much out of the devil's reach than humility. Because surrendering out of humility is not a weakness, but it puts us in a position to lean on the strength of God. That's what Jesus did. And it didn't always make him popular, but it made him obedient to his Father. And eventually made him the savior of the world. And so we start to see and feel this connection between truly not worrying and humility. But maybe it's because we just see the two qualities merged in Jesus. Is there more of a connection than that? Well, let's look at what humility is not. It's not pride. Pride has been described in scripture ad nauseum since the beginning as a major problem. We all know this from Proverbs. Before the downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. A more modern translation of the Message says it this way, pride first, then the crash, but humility is a precursor to honor. Jeremiah in the Old Testament told us we should boast, but not about ourselves. He says, this is what God says to do. He says, let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches, but let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, God, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness and justice and righteousness on earth, for in these things I delight, declares the Lord. In Mark 7, Jesus lists arrogance, pride, as one of the major items that defiles an individual. And then finally, Paul brings it home in Philippians when he discusses how Jesus avoided pride completely and totally exuded humility. And Paul says, look, you people, you should have the same mindset as Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, didn't consider that quality of God to be something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted Jesus to the highest place. If there's one thing a church is supposed to be doing, and I pray that we are doing it here, it's to continually remind each other that it's not about us. It's about God. Life is about God and honoring him. Church is about God and worshiping God and serving God, not us. And we need to remind each other that everything we have comes from God. The point of that focus is to bring a sincere humility, not self-hatred or self-loathing, but a humbleness that comes from being a child of God, so that we can truly minister to other people, disciple them about Jesus, which requires that we do not hold ourselves out to be better than them, that we do not resent or disregard other people, and we certainly don't complain to other people about our circumstances. And there it is, the corollary to worry. complaining to other people about our circumstances. I am so important that I am going to interrupt my witness to you to complain about my life. And therein, I think, is the answer to the question we earlier posed. What is the admonition by Scripture and by Jesus against worry? What does that admonition have to do with humility? And it's this: when we worry, we lack humility. Let that sink in for a moment. Because I think that most of us think that when we worry, it's because we have abundant humility. We're so humble that we don't think we have what it takes to prevail on this or over that. And so we worry. Respectfully, I think that's an incorrect assessment. Instead, we are worrying because we think that we are in control. And by golly, we're not going to give up that control. Paul tells us in Philippians, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul is explaining to us there that dropping self-reliance and instead crying out to God is the opposite of being anxious. Paul is pointing up in no uncertain terms that there is an absolute relationship between anxiety, between being worried, and a lack of trust in God. Which gets us then to the final question. When? When are we going to address this issue of humility so we can stop worrying and be the Christians that we were meant to be? Now, I think it's a mistake if you look at today's scripture with Jesus riding in on a donkey, if you look at that and think there was no sense of urgency for Jesus. Indeed, the sense of urgency for Jesus was to obey God and to do so calmly, and in the process, avoid worry or any suggestion of it. Jesus knew he had only a few days left. Most of us truly have no idea how many days we have left on this earth. May I suggest that we address our own issue of humility with a true sense of urgency, so that in the days we have left here on this earth, we can practice what we preach. Don't worry. Be humble. Let us pray. Lord, you offer us so many opportunities. Is the best opportunity there simply to let it all go and give it all up for you, Lord? Help us to be humble in that way, in a real sense, internally, in our heart of hearts, Lord, so that we know that we depend on you, and we know you will provide. Scripture tells us, Jesus tells us. And Lord, let our worries evaporate as our humility grows. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.